This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Let's get ready to be at our best, now. Be at our best.
How you feel?
Same way I'm up.
Look, amazing, right?
All right, man.
Yeah! Woo! Escapes. Look at him take
it. ASAP, get his score in the place. You know we drink well. We bout that. We're full of anybody and get it done.
Thank you, baby!
Oh, God. What's up, everybody? This is Charger Chad. I'm your host, Woldog, sitting with my buddies.
Kev, oh, God. We're back.
Duggan.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome back.
God. And Kyle, the coach, Duggan. Just well, saying,
I'm here.
Here he is.
I'm still here.
Oh, God.
Best way to introduce this podcast. Oh, yeah. Shit. What?
Oh, Lord. What is it now?
What have we done now?
How did we blow another 3-point game this week?
Ah, Jesus.
One of the coolest ways I've ever seen. And
what?
It was no, but it, like if it wasn't us, you'd look at it and be like, wow, that was impressive.
No, that's typical Charger fashion as of lately. But hey, welcome back, folks. Thanks for joining us. As you can see, we've got all three members here this week. And again, still hosted by Big Heads Media. Happy to be a part of that team. So be sure to go over to Big Heads Media and check us out, as well as a bunch of other great podcasts we have over there. We're the only Charger one, though. So, yeah, deal with that. So one of us is still out of the country, Mr. Kev Huggenduggan. How are things going over in ye old England?
It's good, but I heard the last podcast and I'm not very.
Wasn't it good?
No. No, you guys did a great job fumbling.
It was like you were there.
Your way through it. Yeah, it was great. You figured it out, but you were throwing some shade. There's a
like what?
Lot of
what,
shade.
What specifically?
What could you possibly be talking about?
Apparently, I love cricket now, even though that's the only sport they have in India.
We threw it out there. You might be into cricket now, and then all of a sudden you're recording. You're talking about cricket. You put two and two together.
All I'm saying is you guys had the recordings of what I said at least 2 days before you recorded. So you kind of figured it out.
Listen to
it. I'm going
to
tell you one thing. I did not listen to anything you had to say. I was not
excited. Nor have you ever, Kyle. My brother, the significant, smaller, littler brother. Never have you listened to me. But it's fine because cricket's kind of cool. Oh my God, we're doing sound effects now. Holy shit.
Yeah, watch yourself. Wooly's on the board.
I'm on the ready.
Well, just so you guys know, I love you. I'm back.
Yeah, that's quite a bit going on with us lately.
What about you, Wooly? You getting some snow out there and Boise?
Yeah, as everybody saw on the Instagram, old Snowbeard made an appearance. We've had some snow, but I think it's going to be gone by this weekend because it's going to get up to 50 degrees, so that'll pretty much take care of most of it. But otherwise, yeah, just been – I haven't had anything major to report out on. My car broke. I'm driving a rental. It was just – I don't even know, something weird with the car. It's a new – it's 2015 Kia Soul and – less than 30,000 miles on it, and all of a sudden I couldn't accelerate anymore, and like all the oil was out of the engine, and I'm getting a whole brand new engine. So everything's covered by the warranty, thankfully. So right now, here we go. Guess what I'm driving right now?
What's
that? Dodge Charger?
A Dodge Charger.
No. Yes. Oh man,
it was meant to be, Adam. This is
it. Was I didn't even think about that until just that second. That's funny.
Wow. That's big news, man. That's big news. You're driving the official Dodge Charger. The Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
Dodge Charger's dope, man. Good work.
Hell yeah. They're fun to drive. What about you, Mr. Kyle? Anything between our last awesome podcast episode and now?
I wouldn't say it was a great episode, by the way.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the coach.
Fair enough.
I just had an awesome Thanksgiving and watched a whole bunch of football. And
that's true, yeah.
So watched, ate some food, and it was good. Missed my big brother. It wasn't at Thanksgiving. He's out traveling the world, but it was good. Yeah, normal week. It was fun.
Yep. What a tumultuous I mean, typical Chargers fashion, just a drama-driven game that was ups and downs and great plays and head scratchers and threats of changing out the quarterback. Like, it was just
there was a lot to take in. There was a changing quarterback for one play, and it was a complete disaster.
I wish they would have practiced that a little bit more. Yeah, that was quite the game. Lost by a kick after a pass interference. It's funny because that would have been the way that the story would have gone last year. Chargers would have been down. It would have come back after a pass interference to kick a field goal and win it. That would have been the Chargers story last year. And this year has just been completely flipped on its head. And
after what Mike Williams did, like, that was like how you win the game. That's how you get there. And then we decided to, I just don't know.
Well, I guess we could jump right in. What do you guys, how do you feel? There's a lot of debate going around about the kicking the field goal at the end there. Why we had that fourth down there before we kicked the tying field goal. What were you guys' thoughts on trying to just go for it and score as opposed to kicking the field goal to tie it up?
I mean, hindsight's always 20/20, and you know, if we were going to lose, obviously we should have just gone for it. But I don't think there's a lot of faith in what our team can do right now. And I think that's what speaks the loudest, especially from Coach Lynn making those kind of decisions. Is last year, you know, when you're in Kansas City,
right,
you go for that 2-point conversion to win it, not to tie it up, not to continue, but to win it. And if you don't get it, you lose. And I just don't think the faith is in the team right now, you know, both from the quarterback perspective, which is unfortunate, and just on the team as a whole to be able to make those kind of plays. Now, granted, we're talking about the same game where we were what, fourth and 13 or something, where Mike Williams made that bomb ass catch.
Yeah.
Like, I would have thought that would have been enough to give at least enough confidence to make that happen, but I guess not.
I understand. I'm a very conservative coach. When I coached football, I was very conservative. You're 4-7 and you're on the road and you're playing a rival opponent. I honestly, as a fan, I was sitting there watching, like, I don't want to go to overtime. I just don't want to see this happen. First off, because overtime in the NFL sucks. They need to change it and do the way college does it. Also, like, what makes us think that we're going to win in overtime when it comes down to making clutch plays? If you can't make this one, I don't know. I was like, just roll the dice and go for it and give it a shot and see what happens. I mean, we're already running. We're kind of playing on house money with that fourth down conversion that came out of nowhere. Throw another ball up. Maybe we can get a PI. I would have loved to see us go for it. You're 4-7. Playoffs are extremely unlikely. Take a chance. Go try to make a play. You know, I don't know if that was Lynn went to our OC and the OC was like, dude, I don't have a play for this, or I don't know what, but I was kind of bummed that we kicked the field goal to tie it. Obviously, like you said, Willie, looking back, since we know we lost the game like three plays later, obviously everyone would have. But even in the moment, I was like, I don't really want to go to overtime. Like, this is just dumb. Let's just try to win the thing.
Yeah, well, that certainly would have made it at least a little bit more exciting. Looking at the game, there's a lot of stuff to digest. You know, the Phil concern still weighs heavy, at least on the hearts of the fans. For a brief moment there, we saw Tyrod warming up to possibly step in. And the announcer said, you know, that's kind of sending a message, which obviously Phil took.
But I don't even think it was a message. I think it was just like him throwing a football on the sideline, not even a big deal. It frustrated me that they took that and ran with that. You know what I mean? That was very frustrating.
Look, man, they're trying to find storylines. I mean, now we're out of the playoffs. I don't know if we've officially been eliminated, but we are. So it's like, you got to find storylines. The only thing that the media is going to be able to talk about now is Phil for the next 4 weeks of the season and then into the offseason. So it's coming. It's just buckle down and endure it. It's not going away. So the Phil conversation is here to stay until he either signs a deal or they make a decision. But the Phil stuff, that's not going to go away. So
Right. He has to ball out for the remainder of the season to really make it even not a point of talk. And I just don't see that happening, at least not with the current team that we have right now. But Mike Williams, hey, came to play. And, you know, we saw Derwin James back. Didn't quite live up to Kev's bolt prediction, but still obviously made an impact out there on the field.
He looked good. I love the fact that it was like literally the first play on defense that he was starting to like blitz. They had him up in the box, like starting to like charge stuff. It just made me happy. I was excited he was back for that purpose alone. And it's like what we had with Melvin. It's like it's going to take him a couple games to get back to playing style. You know, right. He hasn't touched the field in a while. Hasn't played football in a long time, so it's going to take him time to like get back to it. And what sucks is he's going to get back to it when the season's over, and that's a bummer.
Completely agree. And that's the unfortunate thing is we only have a few games left before the end of the season, so it is what it is. Melvin Gordon played well enough, almost had 100 yards there, and Eckler still killing it on the reception side, at least getting 51 yards and in a titty. So with as bleak as the future of the season looks, it seems, at least on paper, at least if you listen to what they say, that the Chargers aren't going to stop pushing as hard as they can, you know, especially from people like Melvin Gordon, who has to prove that he's still a viable player. You know, he was quoted as saying, I just have to do my job. No one knows their situation. It's the business side of things. I don't know if I'll be here or somewhere else. Hopefully it's here. I mean, given the recent plays recently, what do you guys think? Are you on the Melvin train? Do you want him to stay, or are you anxious still to let him go?
I feel like it's the same situation we were coming into the season. It's if he wants to change his mind and take the offer that we had on the table, I wouldn't offer him more. Like, I wouldn't go back to be like, okay, now we'll pay you what you wanted. I think the offer is going to be similar to what it was. And if he wants to take it, great. If he wants this absurd amount of money still, then it's just not going to happen here, man. Like, that's already out there. You already know that. He just can't come out and say, nah, I'm out of here, or because you just don't say that. It's a bad look for him. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's very likely that he's going to be around. I really don't.
Yeah. I'm going to go on the other side. I think he will be. I think it's a strong – he's finally been knocked down a peg or two to the point where we're willing to pay him what he thinks he's owed. I don't think he's – what he thinks he was before the season started. He's definitely not a top five running back, and it shows. And we have Austin Eckler to even back up all the BS that he thinks he is and how good he is. It's taken him so long to get back to where he was last year, and he's still not even at that level yet. So it's just something that I think he's going to be on the team next year. That's my thought. Unless there was too much, you know, negativity or distrust from the organization and him, that's the only thing I can see being a problem.
So you think because of the way that the season's gone, he now realizes he's worth what we offered him. He's not worth what he thought he was.
I think that he is definitely at the point where he realizes that he blew it. He made a mistake, and he should definitely run with what he's being offered. There's an element of like the, you know, being a part of a team, whether or not he thinks that this is the team he wants to be on. Right. He's definitely going to get a contract somewhere else, but I don't think that he is, he's not going to be trying to get the numbers he was getting, you know, asking for before the season started.
Yeah, he's not going to get that anywhere.
No, nowhere. Do you want to stay comfortable? Do what you're doing here where you have the team around you and you know that you're the bell cow, or are you going to go somewhere else? You're going to try it. Like, good luck.
Well, you know, given some of the other Chargers that we're going to have to be signing next year, who else do you guys foresee sticking around? Because there's a lot of guys on that list that, you know, fans would want to stay around, but who do we really think would stick around? You know, names like Joey Bosa, you know, given the prior drama that happened for his draft and his contract signing, do you guys foresee him getting paid, or do you guys foresee him finding work elsewhere?
What's your
he's going to get paid. I mean, it's just the difference is the position that he plays. Mm-hmm. Melvin was asking for ridiculous money for a running back. A pass rusher, you pay them. That's just the way that it works in the NFL. If they don't pay Joey Bosa and we're going into this new stadium, like they may franchise tag him for a year just based on whatever else is going on. Mm-hmm. But the guy's going to get paid. And if we don't pay him, somebody's going to pay him. That's the difference between Melvin and Joey. Melvin was holding out thinking that he was worth this and that somebody would eventually come get him. He was living in La La Land. Joey is going to be one of the top play defensive players in the league, and everyone knows that. So if we don't do it, somebody's going to. So that guy's going to get paid. I don't see why we wouldn't keep him around.
And we need
one
to
more contract. Yeah,
we need to make a splash on him. I think it's the most important thing. You know, think about it on the other side of it. It's like we're moving into a new stadium. We're trying to keep a fan base. We're trying to keep things interesting. Him and his brother are the top Pro Bowl votes of this year. Like they're mm-hmm. those are the top guys. Like these are guys you need on your team to keep it interesting for the local fans that don't know about the Chargers, not like us, but just people that are like, oh, I want to go see Joey Bosa play. Like you need to sign him and pay him and keep him on this team.
I completely agree. I think my thought is like they're the ones that the fans look at and go like, yeah, we need to keep him, like Joey Bosa, like Austin Ekeler. And then there might be players that end up sticking around that are more viable from the office's point of view. I guess part of my concern too, and I've seen come up in a couple of discussions, is Telesco, on whether or not he's safe on some of the choices that he's made. You know, looking back at our draft from 2019 and the players that we've gotten from that, where are the only offensive line was Trey Pupkins, who's played in four little games, little pup, hasn't really made that much of a splash, at least not in the positive direction. Concern being how vital it is to have a good offensive line and how that just hasn't been the focus, at least from the general manager's perspective. So let's look back at our 2019 draft picks and see what they've been up to. Obviously round one, Jerry Tillery so far this season. Yeah. 12 tackles. Seven assisted tackles and 1.5 sacks.
I just looked at the stat sheet. I just looked at the stat sheet from the Broncos game. Guess who had as many tackles as our boy Tillery? Sam Tevy had just as many tackles as Jerry Tillery.
Wow.
Because of that interception he made the tackle on. He had as many tackles in the game as Jerry Tillery, our number one pick.
God.
Yeah. So, what have you seen from that, Kyle? I mean, is he just still too green, or?
I mean, that's possible. I mean, I listened to just today, I was listening to one of the Facebook Live interviews of Gus Bradley, and he seemed to make it sound like he was excited about the progress that he's making. It's just hard. And an interior defensive lineman, unless I'm specifically only watching him on every play, you're not going to see what he does. So early on in the season, you saw him taking double team blocks and just getting pushed back 10 or 12 yards. It doesn't seem like that's happening anymore. But we brought Jerry Tillery on to be a pass rush interior defensive lineman, and he's not doing that. No. We're not seeing push up the middle on anything. If anything, that's where they're escaping to get away from Ingram and Bosa on the edges. So I haven't seen any huge progress. Maybe if his technique's getting better or his ability to take double teams, that's great, but that's not what a first round pick does. So his progress hasn't been good enough, in my opinion, to be a first round pick. But we'll see. I mean, there's always players that have a rough first year and then come back, and I'm hoping that's the case. He gets a full offseason. I guess he was out for OTAs and the minicamp stuff, so maybe he'll be there. He'll be that guy that makes that big jump. This year's been a huge letdown for the first-round pick, for sure.
So is he just not playing his position, or is he just not playing his position well?
He's just not playing his position well.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we brought him in to be a pass rush guy. He's not doing that. So mm-hmm. if he was just a run stopper, we wouldn't have drafted him in the first round. Which
right.
we got a whole bunch of that on the roster. Yeah. Ebane, and you know, we even brought in the seventh round pick Cortez Broughton to do that. Like big, thick sturdy boys that could just sit down and take double teams. We mm-hmm. were hoping to get him in there and, you know, be an extra person rushing, you know, crushing the pocket. And he's just not good.
Yeah. Well, there's always next year. Let's see. Round two, pick Nasir Adderley. Played two games. So, you know, that's what I want my second round player to do, is play two games.
Play two games and call it a year.
Right.
Red shirt it.
Yeah. He was dealing with an injury going into the season, right? Like a neck injury.
And then the hamstring came up on
him. And then the hamstring took him out. Yeah. Round three, Trey Pipkins. I think we don't need to say any more about that.
I think you said his name incorrectly. Can you do that again?
Trey Pupkins?
Yeah, there he is.
Trey Pupkins?
Trey Pupkins.
He'll get there, guys. He's a small school kid. He's a long-term plan.
He will. No, he's
small Pupkins.
He's a whip. He's a work in progress. But hey, round four pick, Drew Tranquil.
Steal the draft right there. Dude. Stud.
Boss, he's such a maniac on the field. I love seeing just light people up. It's so much fun. He's like the bright spot on the season for me, just like seeing him just destroy people.
No, he's been playing everywhere. I know initially we were just seeing him on special teams, but in this last week he definitely got some tackles on the defense, so good to see him getting worked into that. Round five pick, Easton Stick. I haven't seen him play outside of preseason. So,
well, apparently to everyone on the internet, he should be starting next week. So,
oh my God, shut up, internet.
I mean, I don't think that he should start when you have Tyrod Taylor sitting there.
It's a joke. This guy...
I understand, but my point being, I still kind of have faith in him in regards to sitting behind Phillip Rivers and Tyrod Taylor and learning the most that he can from them. I mean, I've said it before that I'm a proponent of quarterbacks that take a year or two to sit behind the professionals and then go out to play, as opposed to, you know, drafting one as the first pick and then just immediately putting them out there. Yeah. Like, I still think this guy could have what it takes, not yet, but I hope to see him stick around at least to the point where he gets an opportunity to play in a game. Let's see, round six, Mike Egbuolie. Yeah.
Whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah. It's been all right. It hasn't
Seventh round guys, like, that's okay. They're going to take time to develop. It's just a first round pick that you can't have as many tackles as an offensive tackle in a game. That's the issue. That six, seventh rounders, that's like, we'll take a shot. They have some upside. Maybe they'll be a role player in a year or so. Yeah, the Emeka Egbuolie and the Cortez Broughton, they're apparently getting mono, so they need to stop making out with randos.
But... Yeah, for real.
Thanks, Cortez.
Stop making out with the Patriots.
Yeah, seriously. No, but I saw, what's his face? Sam Darnold, he sat out like 4 or 5 weeks because of mono too.
Yeah.
I guess the medical way it goes is that your like spleen is something, it's like very fragile when you have mono. So if you get hit wrong, it could like burst and you could like die. So that sounds like a silly high school illness, but yeah, it's no joke. You can't take a bad hit somewhere in your body and it could be okay. bad. So Cortez, okay. heal up.
Did you get mono in high school, Kyle? You know, I never did. About mono.
I was a coach, so I had kids that got it, but I was never a victim of the mono.
Deal.
You would have known, Kevin. Hopefully you cared about your little brother.
Yeah, you probably would have gotten it.
No, I would have made fun of you from to the end of time if you had mono. So.
Yeah. Thanks, dude. Love you, too.
I love you, too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Click.
Click.
That's how we should end every episode. Okay. Love you too.
All right, love you too. Bye. Click.
So, you know, looking at where we're sitting right now, it's not looking great to hit the playoffs. There's a string of a chance, but we're
Can we just come to terms with the fact we're not making the playoffs? I think
we're making
a run
for that first pick is what we're doing.
I think,
but I don't want to even want that. I'd be fine with like the 10th or 14th pick. I don't want to. I don't want to. No, I'm going to watch every. You stop it, Kyle.
You.
I'm going to watch every single one of these games, and I want to win these games because I'm not a loser and I'm not a quitter. And these teams, this team needs to win.
No, it doesn't.
Freaking fact.
No. We need to lose every game so that we have a better draft pick. We're tanking for Tua right now.
Well, hey, but no, but this is a good point. Like, look at draft picks. Look at how they shift. It doesn't matter. Like, look at the four draft picks ahead of us, what it could be. You never know what it is until they flourish and become what they are. Our draft picks have sucked for the most part. Just be realistic.
That what are you talking whole, about? Last year?
That was the whole point of talking about what we have this year. It doesn't matter what our draft pick position is. Whatever. Let's win. No.
I would pick 28. We picked 28. That's why he sucks. If we would pick top 10, we would have a guy that's playing. Who were the top 10 picks of last year's draft? Let me do a little research here on the line.
Who I would recommend is my cousin Brian McCann, who plays for the Austin Peay Governors, going to be playing against the Sacramento State Hornets this Saturday on ESPN3.
Who are these names and who are these people?
The team is called the Austin Peay Governors. I'm just trying to give a shout out to my my cousin Brian McCann, who's on their team.
Love you, Brian.
All right. Love you,
so top picks,
the quarterback or whatever you do.
Top 10 picks would have been, you could have got Nick Bosa at number 2, Quinnen Williams from Alabama, who's killing it for the Jets, Clelin Ferrell, who's on the Raiders. That guy obviously sucks now, but Devin White, Daniel Jones, this quarterback stretch, Josh Allen for the Jaguars, who we're going to play this week, TJ Hawkinson, Ed Oliver, who's rushing for the Bills. Those guys don't all suck, Kevin.
Wow, they suck.
No, they don't. They're better than our D tackles. Getting as many tackles as Sam Tevy.
They suck.
No, you're wrong. Love you, bye.
I'm not a coach.
Bye. That's how we're ending your segment. Love you, bye.
I'm not a coach. But I'm going to tell you. I'll take pick 15. We can kick some ass for the next 4 weeks.
We're losing out. Love you, bye. Next segment.
Boy. I mean, do you?
Who I trust?
My only concern, because you know, I'm expecting the best and prepared for the worst. You know, if we make the playoffs, great. If not, it's
not
fine.
Happening. Willie, stop talking about playoffs. I'm not engaging with playoffs. We're not doing it. Willie, don't bring up playoffs anymore.
Here's my concern. Here's my point.
I want to hear.
Okay. There's a record on the line in regards to consistent starts from Big Papa Phil.
Yeah.
The last thing that I want to see is Phil getting benched.
Mm.
That is my only concern when it comes to tanking for the rest of the season. His future is on the line. And I do not want to see him get benched.
What you said was the exact point that is the reason why he's not going to get benched, because he has a full-on record going for the NFL. There's no freaking way, while he is the current starter for the Los Angeles Chargers, that he's going to get benched and not start. He is going to finish the season out, and what everyone thinks after the season is whatever they think. He is not going to not play the rest of these games.
Here's the deal. What makes you think that him playing means we're not going to lose out? We've already lost every game with him playing. I'm not saying that he's not going to play. He's going to play, but we're still going to lose every game.
But what would be the point of playing him if the goal is just to lose?
Oh, the goal is not to lose.
He's going
to
keep his record going. We're not going to lose anything. That's not the point, is to lose. It's like he has been our quarterback for so freaking long. There's no reason why you would alienate an entire fan base and start another quarterback over Phil Rivers.
It's not going to happen.
You're going to do it at the end of the year. You're going to do it in the next year.
That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around, is if we're going to tank the rest of the season.
Yeah.
then what's the point of playing Philip Rivers?
It's going to be a subtle tank. So you're going to have little squirts of like players here and there.
Subtle squirt tank.
Subtle. We're going to lose. Don't tell anybody.
He's playing, about it.
We're losing. It's going to be like you have like random guys being popped in positions where you're like, well, what's that guy doing out there? Okay. Oh, they're trying to see if he can play. They're not going to toss Phil out of the game, but it's going to be a subtle tank. And there's just like, here's the thing. Everyone that's in the NFL, they're wanting to play well. You're trying to get paid. You're not going to tank as a player because that might affect your contract. That might affect the money that you're going to make. So they're all going to play hard, but it's just, I just don't see a point in actually winning football. Like it as a fan, me just watching them winning games is not helping anything. The whole point of winning games is to make the playoffs to win a Super Bowl. But if those two other things aren't there, then why would I not want the best draft pick possible that we could? If Kevin is so anti top 10 pick,
I fully disagree with what you're saying, Kyle. I feel like you're
being brainwashed right now.
Right now, you're being the internet and you're not being a Charger fan because we want to win football games. I don't give a shit who.
All right, now you have to put an E next to this episode. Kevin.
I will put an E on it. You bleep me. But we are going to try and win the rest of these games because that carries over into the next season.
We were on a winning streak last year. We came over and lost 8 games out of 12. It didn't carry over anything.
I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose in this conversation with you. I don't want to lose in this the rest of the season. I do not want to lose any more freaking games. Gordon
Gardner Minshew.
I don't want to lose to that mustache wearing troll. I don't want to lose to him.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
I win.
Yeah. That's the hot debate on this episode, folks, of Charger Chat Podcast. I'm sure you're glad you tuned in for this. Let's see.
This Charger record is just crushing us. We don't even know how to do a podcast anymore.
Well, it's concerning. I mean, to go from what we were last season to what we are now is concerning, is jarring. It's not what anybody expected from the Chargers.
No.
So it's caused a bit of a rift, I think, in the loyalty of some of the fans in regards to who we truly love. Like, we all three of us still love the Chargers. If we go 4-12, then we go 4-12. It is what it is. We've been there before and we'll get through it again. I think it's just caused such a dramatic rift because of Big Papa Phil. I think that's the biggest concern right now, because that's who we connect with more than anybody else. And that's why I brought it up, was I am concerned for his future. I'm hoping everybody makes the right decision and keeps him around. But I don't know. And it's the fear of the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to bench him prior to the end of the season. I don't know if he's going to not come back next season. And that scares me as a fan.
That scares me the most, that him not being back next season. That's the scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all we can do is speculate. And I think speculation just causes more fear, not knowing what to do or trying to make any kind of logical sense out of it. So the only thing we can do right now at this point in time is look forward to the next game, which is the Jaguars with Gardner Minshew coming in, which I think it's hilarious, you know, that you've got Nick Foles, who they paid, what, like $80 million or something to play for the team, and he's getting benched for Gardner Minshew. Like,
I don't want to play any more backup quarterbacks. They just somehow beat us. I'm tired. I want to play Tom Brady. I want to play Aaron Rodgers again. Let's go get him. I want to play the good guys that we play well against.
And that's the craziest thing. That's the biggest head scratcher, is we're still talking about the same season where the Chargers just beat the snot out of the Green Bay Packers. Just like, what happened? I don't know. Sorry.
But I have a question for you, Kyle. Like, I'm trying to figure out, because our defense is one of the top defenses in the league, right?
Yeah.
So is this more of an offensive thing? Or is
it's offensive? It's turnovers and special teams. That's what's been killing us. You can't have – Phil has the second most turnovers in the league behind what's-his-face from Tampa Bay. So it's like you can't turn the ball over because then you just put yourself in a terrible spot. The defense, they're not giving up yardage, but they're giving up points because they're right there to score. And then you fumble on punt returns. We had 2 in 2 weeks. You just can't do that stuff. So it's not one specific aspect of the team as to why things aren't going well. It's against the Packers, all three phases of the game were clicking. Every single one of them. So there was no easy points. There was no easy yards. There was no penalty for first downs. It was just everything was clicking. And when that happens, you see how good we are. That kind of stuff's just not happening right now. It's everything's just kind of up in the air and kind of chaotic. And I can't explain why.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Cool. Bye.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
So Jaguars are coming in hot off of a loss, 20-17, much like the Chargers.
Yeah.
3-point loss. Or excuse me, 28-11. 20-17 was the last time we lost to the Jaguars. My bad. So
thanks.
Anyways, Jaguars are 4-8. What do you guys think?
I hope they beat us. That way we move up a spot in the draft because they're 4-8 too.
I hope we win 31-0. 31-0. I don't have time to lose anymore, Kyle. I don't have any more time to not be what I know we are, is a strong team that can beat up these guys. I just don't understand. I don't understand why we – I just don't understand it, and I want to understand more. But I know we're capable. I know we're fully capable of beating down these teams, especially a team that's the same record as us. You know, I just like, God dang it.
Yeah, I feel you, buddy. I think we felt the same way going against Denver this last game. They're just like, we have to beat these guys. We felt the same way when we played them the first time. Like, this is a winless team. We have to beat these guys. And yet we just can't seem to pull it together with all of our losses this season being within one score. It's just we can't finish games. We can't close out games. So hopefully we can muster it up to pull it together. So what do you guys think your predictions are, your bold predictions going in? Obviously, Kevin thinks 31-0.
Was that your actual prediction or your hope?
That was me being crazy. So come back to me.
Stand behind your conviction, buddy.
Come back to me, Kevin. I want to go third because okay. I want to go third.
All right. Well, I'll take it first then. I think for bold prediction, I think the score will be 17-10 Chargers, if that wasn't clear. Yep. I'm looking at you, Kyle. Don't you put that evil on me. I think my bold prediction will be every time I make a bold prediction on sacks, we get like zero. So I'm going to say we keep Gardner to less than 100 yards.
100 yards passing?
Yes.
Wow. All right. I like that. That would be out of control. He's thrown for like almost 2,500 this year.
I know.
On 8 games.
It's a bolt prediction.
I love it. I love it. Okay.
Bolt up, so, baby.
Mine is, you want to hear my bold prediction? Just you wait. I have 24-17 final score. And here's my bold prediction. You guys are going to love this.
To clarify, Chargers winning?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah. I mean,
I'm checking in.
I'm going to predict they win. If they lose, I'm not going to be upset because then that's just helping our draft stock. Sorry, Kev. Love you. Bye.
Stop it. Stop. You son of a bee. I love you, Mike.
Yeah, chill, dude.
You don't say that again. I'm about to smack you in your mouth.
Sorry.
All right, your bolt prediction.
Okay, my bolt prediction stat-wise, I think Phil is going to have a statement game. He's going to throw for 350 yards, and he's going to have, get this, boys, a rushing touchdown.
Wow. Oh my god, my bowl prediction sucks compared to that. That rules. Yeah.
That rules.
That oh my god, that rules.
All right,
what is yours?
I don't have one this week. I'm not doing it. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna go 17-14 Jaguars.
Kevin.
Just kidding. 17-14 Chargers. It's going to be another limp game. It's going to be shitty and sucky, and it's going to be what it is. We're going to barely get through it. I think Derwin's going to show up more this week. I think Mel Gordon is not going to have a great game, and I think Austin's going to just catch tons of balls out of the backfield and score a touchdown for sure.
Okay, so Eckler scores a touchdown is your bold prediction?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a long walk. My prediction. But
took
that
a while
was,
to get there, but we got there.
But it was electrified. You know what I mean? You feel me?
Yeah. Charger, so. Yeah, yeah. Very bolty. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. All right, Kyle. Well,
speaking of losing seasons and everything like that, we've finally entered the playoffs of our fantasy football.
Playoffs.
Some of us have.
Yeah, some of us have. Speaking of losing out, what are you hoping for, a better draft pick next year, Kyle?
I'm out of the league. I'm cutting myself
out of the league. I'm closing up shop. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
Yeah, fantasy football is not my thing, so I'm cutting myself out.
I still need that $100, by the way, as commissioner.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Okay. Cool.
We'll see, but yes, Hug and Duggan and myself have made it.
Seventh seed, baby.
Seventh seed for Huggin, fifth playing, for myself.
I'm playing a Chief fan, Mr. Brian. Yeah,
one of our interviewers.
And I
interviewees.
You tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm playing. I have tons of Patriots players.
No, bitch them all.
But we're playing them against the Chiefs. So do I play the defense against the Chiefs or do I find a new defense? What do you guys think?
New defense? No, is it in?
It's in New England. Yeah,
I'll play them.
Play all my Patriots, all your Pats.
Yeah.
You're a seventh seed, dude. You're playing. You're on borrowed time right now. Play them all.
But I picked up Tennessee against the Raiders.
Like that's a good thing.
Tennessee defense against the Raiders. What do you think? Tennessee defense against the Raiders or the Patriots against the Chiefs? Tell me now. I need it because I want to win this money.
All right. So if you're listening to this podcast and it's before Sunday, go comment on our last Instagram post and tell Kevin if he should. Or we'll have a new Instagram post what goes up to announce our episode. So either in the comments, give him a Raiders D or a you're
Tennessee D,
Patriots D or Titans D.
Yeah,
please let him know. Help me. And also, if you want to be a part of the show, send us an email to thechargerchat@yahoo.com and we will try and get you on the show. It's just something I wanted to throw out there because we want to get more fans involved. So if you listen to us this far, if you come this long road with us and you've heard this, throw us an email and we'll get you on the show.
There you go. It's been a while since we've had a fan focus. We could use another one. So if you want, again, that email is thechargerchat@yahoo.com. Pop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. And I think that's going to do it for this episode. So don't forget, my Charger brothers and sisters, to bolt up because we're ready for any squad, any place.
I love you too. Bye.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Do you or a friend you know enjoy the rousing game of cricket? You do? First of all, sorry. Second, be sure to find all your cricket needs at Hug and Duggan's Cricket Warehouse. We've got all that you could possibly need to play this ridiculous game. We've got equipment for silly points, wicket keepers, leg gullies, cow corners. Who the fuck made up this sport? So once again, that's Hug and Duggan's Cricket Warehouse. Punish yourself today.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts. 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 For more great podcasts.